Why are so many dogs suffering from health issues? Actress Katherine Heigl, who's helped save over 16,000 dogs through her foundation, says she's seeing more issues with dogs' joints, odors, and health than ever before. And after doing a ton of research, she feels there's one place we can look to support any dog's health: their food. So she decided to create something she could actually feel good about feeding her dogs. It's called Superfood Complete. Superfood Complete is made with over 30 of the healthiest ingredients on the planet, including several superfoods vital to your dog's health. Badlands Ranch also sponsors the Jason Debus Heigl Foundation, which has helped rescue thousands of dogs and place them in loving homes. Dogs across America are trying this food and experiencing amazing health benefits. Go to badlandsranch.com/save50 and order right now to get up to 50% off your regular price order with a 90-day money-back guarantee. If you want your dog to experience all these incredible things, go to badlandsranch.com/save50 today.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back, baby. We are back, and we are getting ready to talk about the Lions. Early start to training camp here. So on this episode, we're going to be breaking down all the latest news, and then who are the people that are looking good in camp, some of the people that are concerning us, and then just talk about a couple battles that have caught our eye. But before we get into all of that, we first have to introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. I am Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got UJ.
Hey, everybody.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
All right. So, gentlemen, we are recording this at the very last day of July, which means the season is gearing up to be right around the corner. We're 8 days away from the first preseason game, a month and 8 days away from the first game of the NFL season at home, hosting the Rams, a rematch of the playoffs, Stafford coming back again. But anyways, before we get all that, you know, we do have some news things we want to talk about and the impact of this news. Minor news, Natain Mutai, a backup guard, he was battling for end of the roster, injured, probably out for the year. And the Lions went and signed offensive lineman from the UFL by the name of, Jake Burton from the Michigan Panthers. So another Michigan Panthers guy. Now, I don't know if he's likely to make the roster or not. He played in 11 games for them. But I didn't want to note
a truck driver? Oh, it's Jack Burton, my bad.
Jack Burton, yeah. I wonder if he's with Michael Burton, the former fullback of the Lions.
Yeah.
But the bigger news, of course, is John Kaminsky, one of our favorite players, tearing his MCL and likely out for the regular season with a possibility of coming back for the playoffs.
You know what, though? This could be like a low-key blessing for him. I don't know.
Yeah,
I feel
think
he was fringe this year, man. Like, I don't know how core he was to the. You think he was core? You think he's just a guy? Like, they're just going to carry him, even if his performance was like it was last year, kind of lackluster? Like, I feel like we have a deeper competition this year. I don't think he had to really step up this year to prove he belonged. I still felt.
I never run dog coming in
hide
throwing
him,
heat
on
at
the
Kaminsky.
No heat. I'm saying what it does, though, is allows you to put him on IR, and then maybe when we're getting to the towards playoff times and he's finally getting better and getting back to it, we'll see where we're at, and he can be like a boon to us down the stretch or something.
Do you agree with Rudd Dog that Kaminsky
a little? Not, I don't believe it's a blessing in any way, but however, Kaminsky was according to Rudd Dog, which I agree from everything I've read, he's been repping with the third team and stuff, and the competition is a lot better this year. I mean, getting Reeder there, and with Anjurike apparently doing what they all thought he could do in the beginning, it's going to be a really tough battle. But he is a great player. The commission's been a really good player the last 2 years for the Lions, and he's a solid piece. I hate to see him get hurt because I would like to see him make the roster, even if he was a reserve and, filled in a few plays a game or whatever. But
right, there's going to be injuries. I think he's a key depth piece that we're losing here
exactly.
For sure.
Exactly.
Especially because it could play outside in like a five technique or inside. Like, more five against a run.
How many guys do we have that like kind of same versatility profile? Like we have multiple guys who are going to rotate from edge down in or to tackle out to edge and like be able to do a little bit of both. I'm just saying it's getting crowded. I really was pulling for it. I'm just trying to see the silver lining here. I'm bummed for the guy. Don't get me wrong. I thought he was going to step up and prove that he belongs on this roster. Like, this sucks. I'm just trying to be positive. He'll still be on the team, and it does open roster and opportunity for other guys. You know, if they keep him on IR, that's all. I mean, it's just like we don't have to lose him in cut time. That's all. I'm just trying to be optimistic, gents.
Okay. Well, from that point of view, I see what you're saying, but it's still a bummer he got hurt.
I mean, with his injury, who does it open up the a spot to that it otherwise would have gone to Kaminsky?
I mean, like, Wingo already, like, I don't know. Like, I know, like, we wanted to say he's guaranteed to this roster, but I don't think he was. Like, you want to keep a draft pick on. But
Wingo's
like,
on the roster.
I mean, but, like, guys like him, like, whoever's competing for that back end of, like, the D-line, like, roster is who he was competing with. Like, Wingo, guys like Betts.
I think Betts helps the most.
It
helps him the most.
It makes room for who else do we got out there? I mean, I feel like we got more. I mean, Anzarike, Pascal, all of them. Anyone who's in competition for that depth chart, it makes room for one more man. That's all. I don't know where that structure is or where that rank is to the Lions coaches right now, but whoever's at that back end especially just got a little bit of extra help to stick around for a little while longer anyway.
Yeah, for sure. Maybe we think Betts just because it's another white D lineman. Well,
I think he's got potential. It's just like he's got to show he can translate to the NFL. Like it's like
right.
He put up nice numbers there, but like that's competition level is just not comparable. Even like almost like most of our college, like the higher end college teams here. So I want to see him succeed. That'd be cool. But the Sam role might be a better home for him there, though, too, even. I think UJ said he was repping there now.
Yeah, I've read where he's repping there, and they're throwing a lot at him because they want him to play the Sam, too, and he's struggling a bit. It's a lot. They're just throwing a lot on his plate. So they're according to Campbell, they're going to take a little stuff off his plate to make things a little easier for him to get him back in stride again and get his confidence up. But they say he's working his ass off and trying. So, you know, take it for what it's worth. he's working hard, and we'll see. I don't know.
I think he's going to have to show his ability to get to the passer. That's his way to the roster. I mean, unless he's just suddenly like a dynamic, you know, linebacker and can drop into coverage and do all that, which a guy his size don't, you know, they're not all Jack Campbell. And so, like, he's got to show he can get to the QB at this level, I think, to make this roster. But if he can add that linebacker role, that will help him.
I want to throw something in there that Campbell said in his press conference, though.
Go ahead. Mix it in there.
Yeah. I thought this is really kind of shows the depth of Campbell's thinking, too. You know, when people think he's a goon, I mean, this guy's a smart guy. And
I think it's well established now.
When he was talking about Betts, though, he says why they're trying to throw all this stuff at him. He says, because, you know, we don't need a one-trick pony. We need versatile players. Like, because I don't think of just the 53-man roster. I think about the 46, the guys who are going to be there on a Sunday. And that's what he's thinking about. And those guys have to be able to do multiple things. They can't just be one, you know, have one trick in their bag.
Well,
go ahead.
Especially a guy like Betts, UJ, because he's end of the roster. He's probably going to fill in if somebody goes down. So he has to be ready for whoever goes down at whatever position.
Right.
Think about it this way. when Houston came off that crazy rookie season where he put up all those sacks in that short period of time, and they still put pressure on him to learn linebacker in his second season. Like,
they still are, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's right in that same exact position. Like, they need these guys to be able to do more than just get after the – actually, here's the thing. I don't think – if, like, say, Houston just shows that knack to get to the quarterback, they'll make room for him on the roster, but they'll keep trying to get him to develop to that side. But they might just cry mercy eventually if he's just that good at getting to the quarterback and say, do that. Like, but you got to be that good. And that's the thing. They're going to try to expand his skill set if possible. In the meantime, he's got to, you know, at least do his expertise, his specialty to the max, and that's what he's got to do. But, like, it helps if he can pick up the other skills. Then he'll just be that much more dynamic. Oh, God. If Houston picks up the linebacker skills, look out, NFL. Look out. That guy is going to be a menace to the league. He'll be really will be Houston. We have a problem. Like, oh, man. I can't wait to see him get back into the game plan again.
Like, someone throw cold water on that guy. He's getting too excited.
Nope. I'll dodge it. I'm too excited.
All right, so let me move on to another piece of news before we get into the training camp of it all. Taylor Decker got a 3-year, $60 million extension, so $20 million more a year for Taylor Decker. Brilliant. So congratulations to him. I mean, he deserves it, especially the way tackles are getting paid around the league. He's played up to it, especially in this system. Do you guys have any problems with the extension? It doesn't seem like it.
Zero.
The opposite
zero.
Of a problem.
I'm happy for him. I'm happy for the team. He, according to him, he's hitting his prime right now. So, and I believe it. He's just playing great football. And I think they were waiting a little bit to see how his injuries, his surgeries were. I think he had something kind of procedure after the season. But apparently he's good to go. Everything's A-OK. And, this line is so dynamic, and he's a big part of it. So, yes. I'm happy.
The way that man trains, like, I think he'll be able to play longer than your average bear at the tackle position. Like, I think he's doing, like, a really dynamic level of just taking care of his body. And he loves the Lions. He's got to retire a Lion, okay? Deck's got to retire a Lion. Like, unless he decides to be, like, one of those guys that's like, I'm Iron Man. I'm going to go for like 10 more years. Okay, then we'll trade you away and go have fun around the league or something maybe. But like, I think in like 3 or 4 years, he'll probably be ready to hang him up after a few Super Bowls, you know. And I just want him here. And I was worried we'd have to like either trade him or become a cap casualty in the coming years. So I love this move. Keep that core, baby. Deck's part of the core, part of the foundation of this team and culture. Absolutely. I love it.
But you know, he's like one of us in a way, because you know he's been through the bad years, and I want him to reap the rewards of you know his loyalty and his staying with the team, and like we are now as fans, you know, we're seeing this team actually come around to being something really great, and I'm just happy for him. He's going to be a part of that, so I'm sure he is too.
I could see him becoming like a Dave Deal type down the stretch of his career, like 3 Super Bowls in, now he's like our left guard and no longer a tackle, but like you just keep moving him around because he's so good. But he's just got that like spring in his step. He just stays good. I don't know. I had that thought though. If for anyone who doesn't know Dave Deal, he went to the best high school, Brother Rice in Chicago.
So that deal puts Decker as the 13th highest paid left tackle, which is pretty good value, I'd say, considering the way he plays.
Fair.
The highest paid Christian Darrisaw for the Vikings after this offseason. So Darrisaw's pretty good. I wouldn't put him like head above shoulders above Decker by any means. And definitely not above. And Darrisaw's also getting paid more than Sewell. That's also shocking as well to see that.
Yeah.
But anyways.
Oh, wait. Darrisaw passed Sewell? I thought, wasn't Sewell the number
one
for a minute?
Well, I guess. It happened
right after that?
Average. Yeah. You know, I heard that on a podcast, the Athletic podcast, but now that I'm looking at it, Sewell 112 million overall, Darrisaw 104. But average guarantees is a little higher for Darrisaw.
Whatever. I mean, that's a bigger contract, though, 112. I mean, that makes
right. Just slightly more guarantees for Darrisaw. Like, maybe that's why they said it that way. Actually,
I mean,
a lot of
depends on how you look at it.
Panay has a lot less guarantees than, like, Laramie Tunsil, Andrew Thomas, which is interesting. But I guess the point I was more getting to is that, especially after the Jordan Love contract, just the way the Lions have handled some of these big contract negotiations, it looks like they've handled it pretty well compared to how like Trevor Lawrence and Jordan Love has come in with their contracts. Goff looks like a pretty nice deal in comparison.
I think we said that earlier a few pods ago.
I'm talking about Amon Ra, Panay, now you got Decker. Yeah. Like, just like the list goes on and on as we get more of these deals coming in, like Love and like Trevor Lawrence, Tua recently. No way Jared Goff should be paid less than Tua, but I agree with that.
Just look at us compared to the league. Like, we're like a smooth sailing ship on smooth waters. Everyone else is rock and rolling. The Niners got a bunch of stuff going on with contract issues with Ayuk and whatever is going on with him and stuff. And like, there's issues around the league that are just not our issues. Like the way Brad and Dan have set this up, the way they decided to pay our core guys, the way they've built the culture and picked the right guys, like we look like we're just like settling into like ultimate stability while everyone else is flailing in the wind. It's freaking awesome.
Yeah, well, you kind of said it right there. They know who their core is, and they're paying their core guys. So these guys are going to be around for a while. You know, in the next year or two, we're probably going to see some, you know, cuts that we're going to really not like. But
they'll hurt.
But yeah, because you can't sign everybody, you know.
They'll be hurtful this week.
We got McNeil coming up, Hutch in a year or two. I mean, there's some players that are gonna be wanting to get paid and so we're gonna see, but right now we're beautiful right now. I mean, we're good for like 2-3 years right now. And it's awesome. So
I feel like the ones that are gonna hurt us or that are gonna get like the iffy. Some of these guys that develop into like a star level that was almost unexpected. Like, you know, you're going to pay Hutch.
Yeah.
Like Aleem was kind of like following the proper course to get there. You know, he's going to get paid eventually. But like Iffy just came out of freaking nowhere. Now, like, it's like, oh my God, like we've got nothing for like 3 years. And
LaPorta.
Then all of a sudden we got a superstar.
Yeah, LaPorta.
Oh, LaPorta. Yeah.
J-Mo.
But like, even then, like,
yeah.
J-Mo, that's a big
one. The list goes on and on. The list goes
You're
on.
You're not going to be able to pay everybody, unfortunately, at the end of the day.
If Anzarike turns into be a superstar this year, I hope Anzarike gives us a little discount because we nurse him to health for 3 years.
Well, you segued right into my next segment, UJ.
All right.
Which is the people that are looking good in camp, the standouts right now. That people are talking about. They can't talk about everybody, so they talk about, you know, the ones that are truly standing out. Levi Muzurike, by all accounts, is one of those that a lot of people are talking about, which is great to hear, obviously.
100.
We want to see him succeed finally and be healthy. Let's hope that his back is healthy. But having him out there, like that just makes this middle of the defense seem more deadly, especially DJ Reader. I don't know what we're going to get out of him, especially to start the year.
His body transformation, Z. He didn't just like get healthy. Like he was like a sub 300 pound guy his whole life. He's like 315 in better shape than he's ever been. Just muscle he slabbed on there, man. This dude is looking like a brick shit house. Like that's like nose tackle territory. This man's gonna be able to do it all. He's a monster, and he has that nasty attitude too. Remember what he say when he came out the draft? Like I just want to like kill people or like destroy
something
people.
Something like that.
It was something like just you just love that just brute just violence. it's great. I'm so excited for him. I think that kind of muscle, you know, if you put that on to me, that's like as good as like you know sitting that stuff in concrete. Like that helps goes a long way to preventing injuries.
Well, and it's, you know, the way the Rams, like Jonah Jackson looks like he's out for the rest of the training camp and early offseason. Like, just heading into that first game, it looks like Levi and Muzurike is probably going to be a starter if he keeps trending this direction because I don't think Reader's.
Aleem and Levi? Oh, my. Yeah,
but it's beautiful. You don't have to rush Reader, man.
No, we just want him for the playoffs.
It's a long season. Halfway through the season, we start working him in. And by playoff time, it'll be awesome.
That might be my dream lineup, though. The last part has to, like, come to fruition, which is Hutch, Aleem, Pascal, and Pascal and Levi, all the first two round draft picks. Well, I guess what was Aleem like third, but still like third, all the D line draft pick, the ones that Brad's drafted to build around. Like, if they all come to fruition, like, dear God. Like, look out. And then, like, let Davenport be a rotational guy or something. Like, oh my goodness.
Yeah. Have we heard much about Broderick Martin? I haven't seen
a little bit. A little bit. Campbell commented on Martin, as a matter of fact, saying that, well, he's explaining techniques of a D tackle and, squaring up and then
coordination.
And I don't know what he said, but he's like, on some plays, he's squaring up and he's not doing the other thing. And sometimes he's doing the other thing, but he can't square up because he's like, he's struggling still a little bit with technique and stuff. So, he's still a work in progress. They're trying to give him a lot of reps with the first and second team, but I think he's still a work in progress. So
it does sound like his. Sorry.
No, I'm just not sure. I haven't got a real hard grasp on what they think of him at this moment. So.
Well, it sounds like he's moving a little more fluid from what I've sound like. His movements are look better and stuff, but from what Dan said, like, he's just not putting it all together yet. It's still thinking and doing it piecemeal and not just feeling and learning the execution part yet. Which, honestly, from what he looks like and what it sounds like still, like, I think they're going to be so patient with him because he just sounds like,
right,
if he pays off, his upside is just so tantalizing.
Well, see, again, that goes to Brad being patient. Like, they're playing the long game right now. So, like, get a guy like Anzarike. Yeah, he had an injury. Everyone knew about it in college, but they took a chance anyway. J-Mo, torn ACL, could have gone higher in the draft. We're going to take him anyway. We know he's not good for a year or so, but whatever. He's a great player. So, and these guys are willing to take a great player knowing they'll recover from their injuries eventually. And it's paying off in the long run, down the road. I mean, and now it's all coming together with some of these guys. Whew.
Especially if Pascal and Levi, if those two hit, like, what has Brad missed on? if Pascal, Levi, and J-Mo hit, Brad will be like the best drafter of all time. It'll be time. There'll be no more like impressive like 4-year stretch of drafting. The man is just tore it up at every single freaking step. It's amazing. This roster's stacked. Like, oh my God. So freaking
it's a lot
cool.
of fun. And someone else that has stepped up now is someone that was briefly mentioned, but J-Mo. All accounts is that he is absolutely tearing up this camp. UJ, you're on mute there. But I know UJ's got to say something about it too. But J-Mo, if you look at him, just. His smoothness, his breaks, his at least from the highlights that have been shared. He's moving extremely well. He's tearing up. He's using that speed, to break down, come back on hitch routes, etc. I mean, with that speed, if you just fake going deep, they're gonna have to respect it, and that should be there every time, unless there's like two people in a zone or something like that. But a man, he should just be dominating, especially in his third year. And he's catching the ball away from his body a lot more now. He looks a lot more comfortable. I'm really thrilled. I will definitely be trying to draft him in every fantasy draft I can. But
you know what I think of every time about like his upside is that play last year where he caught that like bubble screen on the sideline. The cornerback was broken down right on in front of him, like he had no room whatsoever between that cornerback, and he did like this like crazy like million steps a second in place, and then just shot by the cornerback along the sideline for like 10 yards.
Right.
Like his ability to change direction and move in space. Like I think he could be one of the best to do it. Like he has Randy Moss upside. Like, I mean, he has everything you need and he has all that glidey change of direction. Like he could pass Justin Jefferson. I think he's got that.
He's got a ways to go there, Rundock.
No.
You are so optimistic. I love your
optimism. He has the upside. Look, it's upside, right?
It's that training camp optimism.
The only thing that he struggles with slightly, I think, is he doesn't have those soft hands that some of the great receivers have. But that's a minor thing. But, he could be a terrible.
I don't know. He started off the season rough last year, but he caught a lot in traffic. The one against Tampa on the back shoulder.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of the game where I think it was Denver. Where he had like a catch it. Away from his body getting hit on his legs.
The Super Bowl touchdown pass. He caught way up in the air above his head while he's getting tackled in the back of the end zone. Against the Niners. Not Super Bowl, sorry. NFC Championship. Against the Niners.
Uh-oh.
The touchdown.
Have a little glitch there with Red Dog. That's right.
Anyway, yeah.
I'm just thinking Super Bowl, I guess. I got Super Bowl on the brain. But I'm just saying he does show the skill to do it. Consistency, obviously, he's building. But I'm just saying, this dude, if he's anything like in the Madden campaign I played, like he's going to just destroy the NFL this year.
Madden campaign, I don't think.
Well, here's the other thing about J-Mo. But, one more thing about J-Mo is that he's such a willing blocker. He's made some – last year, he made some great blocks. I mean, he as a wide receiver, a skinny little dude, he's a good blocker, man. So – He's a complete receiver.
And a lot of those catches going to Reynolds last year, probably going to go J-Mo's way. This offense is being tailored around him and Amon-Ra. This is definitely the year where the Lions will starting to feed J-Mo a lot more than they have tried to in the past.
I think he's going to be the kind of guy who just gets yards because it's like, oh, God, well, he just broke that coverage so wide open. I can't help but just throw this easy touchdown. Like, I just think he's going to, like, but then again, Amon-Ra's looking like that. If you catch some of the little highlights you get out of camp from, like, the video, like, you see Amon-Ra just flaming dudes.
Especially against Terrion Arnold. He's putting him in his,
place
a little bit in some of those highlights I've seen.
Our second, the battle, man, that secondary versus our receivers is such an awesome, like, exciting part of camp right now.
That leads me to another guy that has stood out, especially since he put on the pads.
Ooh, yeah.
Is Eric Rakestraw. Enik Rakestraw from our second round rookie cornerback. He was looking like up and down, but you know, without pads, not the same. When you put the pads on, he's a lot more physical, especially when it comes to, you know, punching out the ball after, like, once it hits a receiver's hands. He's just a physical guy. That was kind of what they were saying about him, and he's shown it in camp. Maybe it's going to lead to some penalties early on in his career with the technique that some of these, especially better wide receivers, use. But there's no doubt about it. He's got the talent to keep up. I think that's
awesome.
The most important thing to see in camp right here.
It's so freaking exciting. That's our second round draft pick, and we picked another one in the first round. It's like those dudes are both showing out. I mean, I know they're both getting beat, or he's getting beat, like Terrion, like you said, but, like, you know who he's going against. Like, Amon-Ra beats anybody. Like, that's the perfect way to learn. Oh, my gosh. Mark my words. The most painful cut from this camp is going to come from our secondary, which is kind of funny because last year it was like we couldn't even keep, like, enough starters on the roster.
Yeah. Well, they had an interview with Meek Robinson, which I thought was really interesting. The attitude that these guys have, it's so almost cocky, arrogant, like badass. But it's permeated the locker room now. And he's even commented on Rakestraw and Arnold and what these guys are doing. And he says, you know, the competition is just fierce in that room. I mean, the talent. How can you go from 1 year of just barely having enough talent to field a secondary, and now we seem to be just dripping with talent? It's remarkable.
It's when preparation meets opportunity, UJ. Like, the Lions are the ultimate. Like, they reap their own luck because they prepare so thoroughly. Like, look at what they did to get, like, Carlton Davis and Amik Robertson, and then they go into the draft. And we get an actual shot at Terrion Arnold, who was supposed to go, like, in the top, like, 15, like, worst case almost. Like, we get a shot at him, and then Rakestraw falls to us in the second, and it's like, they set themselves up for this to be, like, exactly what they need, which was address their biggest issue, secondary, and they've, like, just thrown so much talent in there now. If we're bad in the
young
secondary,
talent.
That would be,
yes,
like,
young.
That would be surprising.
Young,
well, young and veteran. Like, Davis has got a Super Bowl under his belt. Like, and then Robertson is, like, he's in a perfect stage of his career where he's really just figured things out, and he's awesome.
He thinks he's 6'2 or something.
I know.
He really does.
And, you know,
he
sometimes
he
looks
is.
Like it, the way he plays. Jeez.
That's so funny.
like, oh my gosh, like he's making me wonder like what's going to happen because like, so how are you going to keep him, Branch, and like all these guys on the field, and Iffy and Kirby and like,
yeah, well like like Robertson was saying a couple of days ago, he read in Twitter where there hasn't been a single pick in the Lions camp, and they took it to heart. The next day, the secondary came in and got 3 picks
right
against their offense. So,
oh, pretty cool. Just brings up another guy, Stephon Gilmore.
Yeah,
like what the heck? I'm telling you, this cornerback room is going to be a tough cut because even Vildor is not a really bad cornerback. I know everyone hates him because of last year in that damn game. But like,
it's hard to get the image out of your head of that one.
I know. It's easy to forget. Doink. Like he was in perfect position though to like defend the pass. It was only like a freaky, like luck that Ayuk had any chance at that ball. But like, right. I'm just saying, like that was good coverage. And obviously yeah. They liked enough to bring him back, but like someone's going to get cut from that room that you're just like, oh, like probably a couple of someone's. There's just so right. much talent.
Well, I mean, there's one battle going on, Emmanuel Mosley versus Amik Robertson.
Yeah.
Emmanuel Mosley. My God.
You know, they're going back and forth at it a little bit. You know, who maybe for that second or the nickelback spot, right now they have Amik listed at nickelback. Brian Branch listed at strong safety. Emmanuel Mosley listed, well, he's kind of all
over. The thing is with guys like Emmanuel Mosley and Amik, yeah, they might be battling for the nickel, but I'll tell you what, if Carlton or Tarion start to show like they're struggling on the outside, both of those guys are capable perimeter defenders that you could put man on man and go lock down a receiver. So it's like, that's not like it's the same like O-line. You play your best five on an O-line. It's the same thing in secondary. This secondary is a much more open battle. I mean, obviously there's some idea, but there's just too much talent to just dismiss anything. Like Emmanuel Mosley was like a proven number one only not long ago. I know he's got to overcome his knee stuff, but like he's back and way earlier than I think I expected. And I think a lot of people were surprised how early in camp he was active and competing. And like, there's just so much.
He's battling for a roster spot.
Yeah, so he's got no more ACLs to tear either. So
yeah, but you know his upside as starter is my point. You have a bunch of starting caliber talent, and so really when you have that much talent, they're all in competition for the starting roles, and whoever rises to the top will be the starters. I mean, granted, you know you because based on talent profiles, like Tarion and Carlton fit that prime perimeter guy. They got the length and all that, but if they're struggling, you'll see – it won't be long before Ennis or Amik or any of those guys start taking reps on the outside to show, you know, see if they can do it instead.
Yeah, it's going to be fun when we get to our predictions and see who we think the starters are all going to be. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, baby.
So fun. Another standout that you guys wanted to mention, we'll hop over to the wide receiver side, is Darius Fountain.
Yes.
Wide receiver. Who... at least today, was getting the third most reps at the wide receiver behind J-Mo and Amon-Ra, which is interesting.
Well, he's been pretty much getting notes since day one of, like, activities. He's been just showing up every time he gets a chance, it sounds.
Like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. It's hard to say when we're not there watching and all, you know, going by some right. of these. But, yeah, his name just keeps popping up.
Yeah, this is not a rookie. This is a fourth year guy. He's 28 years old out of Northern Iowa, 6'2", 210. Probably, nice size. I mean, the Lions are looking for that third wide receiver. I guess.
Don't put respect on the name of Khalif Raymond, okay?
Do you think Khalif Raymond's a third wide receiver? Like the Josh
Reynolds?
He's
the third wide receiver on this team. Here's the thing. Khalif Raymond is his own weapon to this offense.
Well, right.
He has so much going for him. He is the third target in the receiving room. As far as, like, traditional roles and stuff, I think Jameson is stepping into the X. That just makes too much sense. You replace Reynolds. You're the number one on this offense in, like, technicality. You know, in, like, traditional terms. Obviously, that's Amon-Ra, like, but you're going to move him all around. And, like, it's Amon-Ra... it's J-Mo, and then it's Khalif in the receiver room because you probably put LaPorta up there way above Khalif, you know, right. And, or maybe even Gibbs. Like, it's all so fluid, but you know that man is in the game plan day one already, whereas, like, Donovan Peoples-Jones or Fountain, all those guys are still trying to earn even on this team. So, no, Khalif is number three in the receiver room. I don't doubt that for a second. And then, but Fountain, man, like, the exciting thing about a guy like that is, like, you think of, like, James Harrison or something, a guy who's bounced around the league and is just going from team to team, but he's picking stuff up and he's learning, and suddenly he puts it all together, and maybe you got a guy who's a seasoned pro now who learned from trials in the league, and, like, maybe you got a stud. Like, I'm excited. Like, obviously, 6'2", 210, like, he's got some nice metrics. Like, and we don't have a lot of size in the receiver room, so
right.
I like it.
Well, it's funny you mentioned Khalif Raymond so much, because he credits Khalif Raymond with helping him stay in the NFL, basically. Like, he said he's at a low point, didn't want to play anymore, and Khalif Raymond encouraged him to stick with it.
Love Leaf, man.
So
freaking Leaf.
He just seems like one of those great teammates, you know.
Yeah,
just,
it really sucked to not see him in the playoffs last year.
I know. I felt so bad.
Really
for him.
Sucked. We could have used him probably too.
So much.
Never know. Yeah. Like, that could have been the difference.
Him and J-Mo are just gonna tear up the deep part of defenses this year. There's just, like, we have too much speed between those two. Oh my gosh. Sorry, I'm getting too excited.
I mean, you can't forget about Antoine Green, Donovan Peoples-Jones. Those guys are there at the edge too. I'm not sure if you guys have heard anything about who maybe is stepping up between those two.
Green, did you see that catch? I think it was, where did I see it? It was one of the shorts, TikTok, YouTube, whatever, don't matter. But it was like the defender in coverage on Antoine Green to the perimeter, and, like, makes a really good, like, kind of, like, break, but then, like, Green stays in control and catches, like, a fingertip pass along the sideline.
Oh, I think I do know what you're talking about.
It was pretty dope. Great, great control and focus to stay in the play. Kind of exactly like Ayuk, like, just stay alive and the ball's in the air, you know, make the play. Like, I was like, oh, hey, man, that's some pretty good stuff. That ain't just, you know, oh, like, I run and catch ball. That's some high-end talent stuff right there.
Yeah.
Because I am excited to see what he can do, because I would love him to, like, I'm partial to draft picks. Like, I want to see our homegrown boys, like, be our core, be the guys that step up and become something. Like, you know, like, obviously if you trade for someone and they become great, you love them. But it's cool when you develop your own talent.
Yeah, I agree with that. That's one of the reasons we're so good right now. Is there anybody else that you guys?
There was two more you guys wanted to list. Marcus Davenport. If you wanted to talk about him briefly, UJ, that was the
I just
the guy you
I do
list.
Briefly, because when they picked up Davenport, I thought it was just another retread kind of pick. You know, maybe it's a Pruitt deal and all that stuff. But when I looked at his films when he was healthy, that guy was a monster. And by all indications right now, he is healthy and he's tearing it up in camp right now. And everyone's noticing it. I mean, McNeil's talking about him and a couple other people are commenting. And I just, if this guy is on his game, oh man, he's going to be a great benefit to this team. That's all I can say about
absolutely.
It.
You're not wrong about that, UJ. The only thing that's like, with him is like, it's like, okay, at this stage it's all good, but like when you know the only issue is will he be able to be doing any of this stuff when it matters, is like, you know, it's like, you know, as long as he's there he'll be
right.
doing this, so
we
it's like
know.
At this stage it's like, this is the stuff where it's like, okay, this is great, just stay healthy, be there
yeah,
when
right.
the season's
right,
going
yeah.
like be that guy in a month or
don't
two
don't play
like,
him in a preseason game
right.
Well, who's the guy we had last 2 years, that DN that we resurrected
Romeo?
His career? I'm forgetting his name right now. And
Charles Harris?
Charles Harris.
God, Charles Harris, the man that died like at the set game two, season or two.
Well,
ago,
he came out. We resurrected his career. He gets 7 or 8 sacks, gets a new contract, and then just turns into bleh, nothing. It was terrible. So hopefully it won't be one of those kind of deals. I think Davenport's better than that, but we'll see.
Well, the upside, yeah, definitely with Davenport is there, but healthy. That's really what it comes down to. You know, generally what we're going to get out of him if he's healthy.
Well, that's why I'm hoping Pascal at least develops to the guy we think he can be. Those two together should be able to get the job done for sure.
Well, there's a good segue. Hey, Zach, talking about segues.
Yeah, they're concerning, you know, players.
Rudd Dog has been so high on Pascal, and I've been high on Pascal too, and I still am. But he's kind of not been repping with the first team a lot. He's been more repping with the second team and stuff, and Davenport and guys like that are getting more ahead of him. So is there a cause for concern here, Rudd Dog? That's my question to you.
Camp rotations are like pretty generally meaningless unless you're like a locked-in guy and it's just obvious. Like, they rotate the shit out of everybody. Like, they want all different levels of competition against different layers. Like, so right now it's just probably Davenport's time getting run with the ones, and then you'll see Pascal go. And I think even Pascal was with the ones in like the earlier activities. So like, no, I don't put much stock into like, there are people that try to play that shell game and try to track where the pee is, you know, under which cup or whatever.
What like, are you talking about? I don't
know like
what you're talking about.
Who pees under a cup? Who pees under a cup?
You put the pee under the cup. You have three cups, and then you try to see which one it's in at the end, or shells you can do it with.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Rudd Dog. Like, zero.
Oh, my God. No, like, think about it. Like, the baseball, like, at baseball games, you see, like, they do with red solo cups, and they're like, which cup is under?
What hat is the baseball under?
Baseball cap. Yeah, that's what it is. But, like, yeah, that's a classic. It's a sleight of hand game as old as time. Like, the pee under the cup.
I guess for you,
the pebbles, the whatever, the rock. It's just
is that how they did
slight...
in college for you.
The idea is to see if you can track it, but then like you know, street swindlers are quick and they've managed to trick you.
Okay. Pascal.
Anyway, the point is, some people try to play that like shell game and keep track of all that throughout the off season, and it's. And really, when it doesn't really matter. It all comes to fruition later as these guys put in a whole camp and actually do some consistent work. Like, it's these coaches aren't like fluctuating.
I'm just thinking of this random pee in a cup game. It's I don't get it. Never heard that about it in my life.
Like a pee, you know, like a little like green.
Oh my God!
Pee in a pod.
That is not
pee.
They're talking about piss. That's why I was even more confused.
Oh my God.
Z, that's funny. What?
Too much.
Oh my God.
Anyways, Pascal. Yeah. Okay.
The point is, yeah, like no, I'm not worried about him being repping with the twos right now. There's still plenty of camp left for both those guys to prove themselves. And you know what? If he starts the season behind a guy like Davenport, that's not the worst thing either. So Davenport's a monster.
All right.
So I hope he's healthy.
Well, there you go.
So now that was a really fun segue.
I had DJ Reed on here. We alluded to him already. I did want to bring up one of our rookies. Are you concerned that Mahogany, our late round offensive lineman, has yet to show up because of an illness? Christian Mahogany, of course, from Boston College. Are you concerned at all about him making the roster if he's not there?
I don't think there's a concern about him making the roster, but there is. It's just weird how secretive they are. They won't say what it is or what his illness is, but Campbell had to come out and say, it is real. Like, we're not faking it, you know, like, okay, it's real, but what is it? I mean, what keeps a guy out for this long? Is it COVID? Is it, who knows what it is? It's a little concerning just for, we just don't know. So
yeah, that's true.
I don't think they're worried about him as a player right now, but he is behind now. He's getting behind the eight ball a little bit here, missing a lot of practices.
If he misses like another week, he'll probably be like, start even with Manu finally, like when he gets on the field. You know, since Manu's that underdeveloped.
Yeah, I haven't heard much about Manu.
I still think he has a better chance of beating Manu as, like, a backup to this actual line this year, just based on his college film alone. Like, obviously, he's going to have his catch-up time and figure out the league a bit, but I think he's still that good. He looks that good to me. I don't think it's going to take him long to catch up.
I think his thing is right now just NFL strength. He doesn't have that same strength like a lot of the, some of these other players do. He has the size and everything, but he really doesn't have that. This is what I read from one person's, I can't remember who it was, but he said just he's a little lacking in that area right now at the moment.
Manning?
But
well, how do we know? He's not even practicing.
Well, I know that, but I mean, I'm just saying.
Manu or Mahogany?
Manu.
Oh, I was talking about Mahogany. Okay.
I thought we were talking about Manu.
No, I brought up Manu just saying that Mahogany, if he only misses like another week, he'll probably be on Manu's level because Manu's that underdeveloped that the 2 weeks aren't probably going to put him much ahead of Mahogany. Because Mahogany looked really damn good in his film. Like, that guy's got, I think, a huge edge in terms of, like, I don't think it's going to take him a lot to step up to the pro level. I think he's got the right athletic profile for it.
Yeah, that's why I'm not worried about him as far as the roster goes. It's just getting him back.
Well, yeah, if it's something weird that keeps him out for a long time, then it's a problem.
Right. Someone else I had my concerns a little bit is Hendon Hooker. UJ, you mentioned those picks coming from Ennis and the team responding. I think all three were thrown by Hendon Hooker.
No, one was gone.
At least two were Hooker.
Two were Hooker.
So either way, he has not looked great in camp. And some of those throws are like, it should be high into the outside. He's still throwing it like more like in from the sideline. It still looks like he has a lot longer way to go than maybe we'd hope at this point.
I think the only people who should be concerned are the people who thought like he should just step in and like supplant Goff without like proving shit, like thinking, oh, because he can run a little bit, like he's just gonna be instantly better than Jared Goff. Like, there were a lot of people who really thought he just needed to be given the reins, and I think those people should go.
Well,
take a gut check from that. But like, no, this is what he needed. This is rookie season, effectively. This is what he needed was reps and time in practice and getting, you know, the system under his belt.
Right.
So, no, I'm not concerned right now. The upside's still so obvious. The character's there. This is just early growing pains, and it's still camp.
Yeah, it's his first camp, too. I mean, he was injured all last year. But I'm getting this weird impression from everything I'm reading that I think they really want him to be the number two quarterback, not Sudfeld.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
I mean, right now, right. Well, sure, it does, but I'm getting the impression that it's definitely going that direction. Even though Sudfeld maybe is outperforming a little in practice right now, he's still young and he's going to learn.
Yeah.
He's going to learn.
Remember, UJ, when you said it was like the battle to watch, and I said Hendon Hooker is just going to be kind of like it's his development to watch because that battle is a faux battle. Like it's meant to be the dummy he beats up on his way to gain confidence. Like, Sudfeld should not be our backup quarterback. Like, realistically, like, if Hendon Hooker doesn't develop, you're probably looking for another guy to put behind Jared Goff because Nate Sudfeld should not be our backup quarterback. Like, if he's forced to play in games, we're probably thinking, wow, we're a little bit in trouble.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun in preseason because you know Hooker's probably going to get a lot of reps. So it's going to be fun watching him. And when he's in an actual game situation, and we were talking about those picks in practice too. They said a lot of those picks probably would not have been picks because they would probably have been sacks in real life.
Yeah,
they let the quarterback go on and finish the throw.
Right,
you know? But I'm this part of preseason, I probably – out of most positions, out of all the positions, I'm more interested in seeing how Hendon Hooker does in the preseason and to see what we have as a backup there. Cause he is a dynamic player, was in college. And he's got a really great arm. I mean, he's got a great arm, just his accuracy but maybe just getting in a game situation will really just, you know, sometimes your practice is one thing, but you get in a game situation, you're just going with the flow and you're playing against an opponent. It's different. So,
practice is the time to hammer down and perfect fundamentals. Like, if he does that and he learns the system in and out, like to Jared Goff's level, and gets on that level, then all those other extra talents he has, like his running and stuff, will be able to shine as he can break the system at the right time to make a play. Like, but he's got to learn to be a pocket passing quarterback first in the NFL. And
yes.
Yeah, there was going to be some growing pains. Anyone who thought he was just going to step into the league and know everything, like, it just wasn't going to happen. That's
right.
I mean, and also remember, this is like day, what, like 7 of camp? Like by the end of camp, he'll be a almost completely different player, especially by the end of the preseason. Like it doesn't like he just got to get his timing, his playbook down and just start to learn the coverages and stuff. Like he could be ready to do stuff by season. It's not I think his time frame looks fine. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I'm not overly concerned right now. Like you said, like he missed pretty much the entire last year. This is effectively his rookie season. And I don't know if I get the vibes that they want him to be the backup UJ. I mean, ideally really? They would like to, but I mean, like because of those reasons, I think they don't expect him to be the number two necessarily. I think they, and especially in this league, they carry three quarterbacks now with the emergency. I don't necessarily see Nate Sudfeld losing his spot unless somebody like, gets dropped from another team that the Lions believe could fill that role better. But
I think Nate Sudfeld's consistency and what he's doing in camp right now is not going to be as valuable as the upside of Hendon Hooker. I think they're going to give Hendon Hooker more opportunities to grow and overcome whatever growing pains he needs to because his upside is so obviously more immense than Nate Sudfeld.
I know, but like, this is a roster that's playing. Like ready to go for, compete for a Super Bowl. Now, if you're in a playoff game and Goff goes down for whatever reason, I'd feel a little more confident with Nate Sudfeld out there than Hendon Hooker.
I mean, if it was today... But you realize Hendon Hooker is going to get a lot more practice under his belt in just the next month alone.
I mean, like, but after that,
be a whole different player
during the regular season. Look, you're not getting a lot of reps.
Hooker needs to show it. I'm not denying that, but here's the thing, game manager, right? This term that is somehow erroneously come. Somewhat in the realm of Jared Goff's description because it's a bullshit description. Jared Goff is not a game manager. He's a high-end pocket passer. A game manager was a term designed for backup quarterbacks who can come in and not do anything spectacular, but generally not throw interceptions. Like, if there's a wide-open receiver on a slant route, they're going to hit him. Or otherwise, they're going to throw it away. Or, they can hand off the ball, execute. They'll manage the game. As long as you got a roster around them, maybe that'll even look good because the receiver will run with the ball after the catch. But that's what Sudfeld is. Sudfeld is a game manager. He's got the consistency.
Perfect.
And it looks good in camp.
I mean, Sudfeld's been around this offense for a little while. He's been in the NFL longer. That's why I trust him more if Goff goes down and it's a playoff game.
Right now, today, I agree.
I think I agree in
but
16 weeks.
I think in a month it's going to be a whole different story. I think Hooker's going to look much more crisp. And that's what he's got to do, though. He's got to pick it up. He's got to show what he can. I'm not just giving it to him, but I think the talent profile obviously suggests that he should step into that role. Like, it's so obvious, right? Like, you drafted him where you did for a reason. He's meant for that role.
Right.
That's what he's supposed to do. That's what they want him to do. They're going to give him every opportunity to do just that. And I think he has the character that's going to make sure he actually comes through on it. But, it's the NFL. It's a son of a bitch. He might suck. You never know. We just got to find out. But I still think he's going to be – I think it's pretty much they expect him to take that job. They're not going to give it to him, but they expect him to take it. That's
right. I personally don't think it'll be this year. That's my guess.
Really? For backup? Oh,
correct.
I disagree wholeheartedly.
The Lions have to ask themselves,
and
are they ready to turn the offense
somebody
over to him to win a Super Bowl? I would.
Yeah,
think
but
not.
I don't think they're going to want to hand it to Nate Sudfeld either. Like, just like last year, I think they would add someone like Teddy if they didn't think that.
I'll call him out from retirement, you mean?
I'm saying someone of that caliber would be added to this roster if they didn't think Hooker was going to step into that role. That's what I'm saying. I think Hooker is expected to take that role. They really love what Sudfeld brings to the room. And in like a third string situation, he'd be a really good third string quarterback. But I think that's exactly what Nate Sudfeld
is. What do you think,
UJ? Unless he's like some guy that can do more than I expect.
Like I said, I think it's just my gut feeling that they want him to be the number two. You think not till maybe next year, but I just think they really want him to be the number. He's like what I was saying, the upside is too high, and when he gets out on the field, he'll be able to make plays with his legs, and he can, you know, once he gets his footing under him, gets his confidence up, get hit a couple times, I think you're going to see that the player come out, the guy who played in Tennessee. So that's just my personal opinion. So, well, I don't know. We'll see what happens, but it's going to be an interesting battle in camp. That's all I can say. That's why I'm excited to watch it in the preseason.
Think of it this way, Z. Think about how, like, Jared Goff and J-Mo last year weren't very synced up. Like, they connected a few times, but did they look like they were in sync? Because I would say no. Like, that took a while. But look at this camp. You already see Jared Goff dropping dimes into his window so he can just run with the catch and stuff. Like, that time in matters, and that's what Hooker needs right now. He just needs that time in and doing it and executing, and he'll learn the timing with these receivers. And I if he's not better by the end of the camp, I'll be shocked.
The Lions are 10-3. Goff goes down. They call Tom Brady to take over the offense.
Tom Brady.
You know what?
You don't
though?
Think he would try if a team that you know ready what? To win the Super Bowl?
You know what though? Brady would be great in our offense.
I think he would.
He'd be excellent.
He'd have awesome. Time to throw, man. He'd be great.
He'd have freaking Laporta. You know what he does with tight ends. Oh, my God. Actually, think about it. He'd have a burner like Moss. He'd have everything, man. Oh my, we have everything. This offense is awesome.
That would be a hell of a story, wouldn't it?
That'd be something.
I think Jared Goff.
Let's hope
Jared Goff's
going to
be.
Obviously.
No, I hope
Jared
not
Goff's going to be in the conversation with Brady by the end of his career. You watch.
Yeah.
You're going to see what happens.
I love your optimism today, Rod. You're just
look,
like beaming in optimism.
He's been playing that Madden.
Physically, Jared Goff is just as talented, if not more, than Brady. It's the mental side of the game.
Right.
The mind melding of him and Ben Johnson, I think, is going to not only set him up to tear apart the league together, but when Ben Johnson moves on and Dan and him find their next guy to work with, they're going to continue to develop this just like Brady and Belichick did forever and just be destructors of the league. They're going to dominate. Like, he has every single thing you need. That's what Goff is. He's our franchise quarterback. We signed him to a long-term contract because he's an elite pocket passing quarterback.
And
that's what Tom Brady is.
He's a happily married man now this year. So he's got that going for him.
There's a lot of marriages going on this year.
Panay, right, too?
Panay and Goff. And, it's like the whole family thing going on at the Lions.
Family organization.
Yeah.
Through and through. Well, all right. I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. We had a lot to talk about on this episode.
I could go for a couple more hours if you guys
want. We could.
I can't.
But this is this has been great. We're deep in the heart of training camp right now, a week away. Actually, when's the Hall of Fame
game? A week away.
The Bears. Bears are playing.
I mean, technically, football is. Get ready to hear the phrase "football is back" starting tomorrow.
I'm so excited. Oh, is that the first preseason game tomorrow?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's tomorrow. I'm looking up right now. If my computer will pick up the pace. But, yeah, they're playing.
Did you guys see that video of the Lions running backs doing the drill where they chop their feet through the ropes?
Yeah.
Like,
Monty?
You watch that? Well, all of them. It started with Vaki, and then it was Gibbs, and then it was Monty. And, like, it was so cool because, like, you watch Vaki, and he's fast, but it's, like, kind of sloppy. And then, like, he's hitting the ropes and stuff. And then you watch Gibbs, and it's a lot smoother, and he doesn't hit any of the ropes. And then you watch Monty, and, like, it's even faster and smoother, and you just see that quality of training and talent. It's just like, oh, my God, these dudes are going to be ridiculous. Like, Monty is such a stud. Like, I think he's the most slept-on running back in the league. Like,
yeah, definitely underrated.
Because like, even now Gibbs is getting all the offseason boost and hype. Which, fairly, the dude looks like he's going to tear everything apart.
Oh, yeah.
But, like so is Monty.
What an offense. What an offense.
Yeah, no kidding.
What a lot of toys for Goff to play with. And, yes, the opening game is tomorrow, the Hall of Fame game, the Bears and the Texans. So you get maybe taste of Caleb Williams tomorrow. See what he's all about. Which I've heard he's heading
which
up and down.
Which colored
camp.
Nail polish is he wearing tomorrow?
Yeah, I don't know.
For opening day.
But anyways, we're gonna wrap it up here. Talking about the first week of training camp. It's been a blast. We will be back. Back next week, talking about more what we've heard from training camp, in addition to maybe previewing the first preseason game. It's right around the corner, folks.
Oh my gosh.
It's getting
Super Bowl.
It's the best time of the year, right? Best time of the year. So, anyways, we want to thank our producer, Kid J.
Kid J.
Doing an absolutely incredible job producing this
as
podcast
always.
Week in and week out.
He's the best.
Yeah.
And week on top sometimes, too.
Yeah. He is incredible. So thank you, Kid J, our producer. Thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Spotify, Apple, where you get your podcast. Please download. Please subscribe. Please leave a review. Greatly appreciate that. Twitter/X at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, all lowercase. Follow us on there as well. And reach out if you have any questions you want us to go over, your thoughts on the, you know, what do you hear from training camp this upcoming season. I'd love to hear from you. Other than that, we thank you, UJ. Thank you, Bread Dog. Thank you, listeners.
Thank
for,
you, Big
Z. You're welcome. Thank you for listening and sharing this this time with us. We really appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, rock, rock. Go hard, win the game. With honor, you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger. For thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. At Kroger Pharmacy, CARE is making it easy to get vaccinated. CARE is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. CARE is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care, is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.